us tonight.
Is the actual practice and the actual use of the method kind of step by step, and in terms of the do's and don'ts of working with a patient? And that perhaps we could discuss that, and I'll say some things about it, and then you can pick it up from there. In the purest form, I think it might be good to discuss that, what it would be, you know, the use of the way to help people to be happy in the purest form. Would be basically always a questioning, that somehow the form would be strictly questioning, with very few, if any, statements. The reason for that being that you're not about to tell someone what they should be feeling or how they should be feeling, or that they shouldn't be feeling the way they are. Now, those are really important, aren't they? So that one of the do's is you do ask questions about how a person's feeling. And one of the don'ts is you don't suggest how they should feel. Although the question itself may suggest how they could feel, you never suggest how they should feel. You never imply that they shouldn't feel bad. Or at least, maybe the imply isn't the right word, but at least you don't infer that they should not feel bad. And you lay no shoulds on them and no should nots on them. You help them to see what reasons they have for feeling bad. You are not trying to help them to see that they have no reason for feeling bad. That's an important difference. Do you understand that? You're trying to help your patients, or whoever you're trying to help, to see what reasons they have for feeling bad. You are not trying to help them to see that they have no reason for feeling bad. That's a judgment. That's a should. And that just that difference will make a whole difference in your tone of voice, in your perception, in your attitude, and it will make a difference in your questions. And knowing where people are coming from, you can be pretty sure it'll make a difference in their answers and then their response to you. Because they're pretty much going to lay it on themselves anyway, that they should not be unhappy and that they, or that they should be unhappy. So that the line of questioning can be very formalized in our discussion of it. And the actual session, in its simplest form, would sound something like this. Person would tell you something. They would tell you anything. Right? Anybody might tell you anything. Now, if you're trying to help them, you decide whether what they've told you or not is something that they're unhappy about. Did they tell you something that they were unhappy about? If they didn't, you ask them what they're unhappy about, approximating whatever language they use. So with one kind of person, you might say, well, what's bugging you? With another kind of person, you might say, well, what's bothering you? With another kind of person, you might say, well, what is there that you're feeling bad about? Or why are you sad? Whatever. And you, you know, just go with them. You pick up on their vocabulary. I'm bothered by this, I'm bothered by that, or this bothers me, or that bothers me. Their word is bother, so you use that. If they say, I'm uncomfortable about this, their word is uncomfortable. I'm unhappy, etc. Okay? The reason we won't use other words is twofold. They will have very frequently a different meaning for another word. And secondly, they will think that your use of another word is some kind of a judgment on the word that they were using. and that you have a reluctance, perhaps, to use the word that they were using, and that you're making some kind of a judgment, and perhaps you might very well be, if you're avoiding their word and using your own. So, the model word we're going to use here is unhappy, but that's in quotes because that's only the model word, or that's italicized. Substitute any other word for that. Okay, so that's the first step, and we make that clear. What are you unhappy about? Now, practically, they're going to give you an answer. The next question you're going to ask is, well, why are you unhappy about that? Now, that why, again, that's a model question, remember. The first question is, what are you unhappy about? But it could be simply, what's bugging you? Okay? Same with the second question. Why are you unhappy about that? Can take many forms. What are some of the forms? Well, for what reason does that bother you? Or what is there about that? Because basically, they're rarely going to give you a belief. Second time, third, fourth, fifth time. They're going to give you a further explanation of what they're unhappy about. And just imagine a situation where a young person says, I'm really feeling bad. And you say, what are you feeling bad about? Why are you feeling bad? You say, because my parents are so strict. And then you say, well, why do you feel bad because your parents are so strict? Well, because they won't let me stay up to see the late show. Okay, so that what he's further explaining is actually what particular thing he's unhappy about, not why yet. And you say, well, why are you unhappy that they won't let you stay up to see the late show? Why do you feel bad about that? Because if I can't stay up to see the late show, I feel bad because all my friends are going to be staying up to see it. Okay, that's a further clarification, but he's not really telling you why he'd be unhappy, right? It's a further what. But nonetheless, you still ask why. And you say, well, why would you be unhappy if you didn't get to see the late show and all your friends got to see it? And he'd say, well, because the next day, they're all going to be talking about what they saw on that movie, and I'm not going to know what to say. Oh, okay. Well, why would that make you feel unhappy? That's, again, a further what, isn't it really? But you again ask, well, why does that make you feel bad? He says, well, because I feel stupid. Okay, so you started off with him saying, I'm unhappy because my parents are strict. But what he's really unhappy about, or why he's really unhappy that his parents are strict, is because their strictness make him feel stupid. And you only get to that by asking, well, why? So I'm unhappy that I feel stupid. Now this is a point at which many of you run into a problem. Do you ask the person why they're unhappy if they feel stupid? Or why do they feel stupid? Which is it that you do? The whole point, the whole reason you have that question is because you don't know what he means by stupid. So it's at that point that you clarify and then just simply ask, what do you mean by stupid? So if stupid only means I feel bad, that's one thing. But it could mean something altogether different. It could mean that they think that I don't know anything and that I don't really want to tell them that my parents won't let me up, that my parents won't let me stay up, because then they'll think something else, that I'm a baby, or whatever. And so you could go in either direction. So you have to find out what stupid means. You could go in the direction of peer group approval and concerned about whether people are going to like him or not and what that means. Or you could go in the direction of his own relationship with his parents. Which is it that he's unhappy about, really? His relationship with his parents or his relationship with his friends? Or, in fact, even the third one, himself and how he feels about himself.
What were the two possible questions?
All right, he came to saying, The reason I feel unhappy about my parents' strictness is because when I'm with my friends and they're talking about the movies, I feel stupid.
Right.
Now, the question was, what do you ask? Why do you feel bad about feeling stupid?
Right.
Or, why do you feel stupid? Okay? Now, your feeling is, well, you know, that's no reason to feel stupid. But you don't know what he means by stupid. And so the best thing at that point, when you don't know which way to go, many words that people will use, see, they get good at it, are just other words for being unhappy, like stupid. It's just another word for being unhappy. I feel dumb, I feel silly, I feel foolish, I feel stupid. Or it could be another thing altogether, a description of a kind of phenomena and dynamic that's going on, that I actually do have difficulty thinking, you see, which is perhaps not what he would have meant in that situation. And I feel like I can't learn anything. And I feel like I don't know anything. And the question is, why do you believe you should know something? Maybe perhaps would be the next question. Or why would you be unhappy that you don't know is another way of asking that same question. Okay, so the practical, strictly simple way of using this is to continuously ask why, or what why really stands for what reason. The question why in English is shorthand. You're aware that perhaps in other languages the word for why is for what. Pourquoi in French, perque. And porqué in Spanish, and perqué in Italian, and pourquoi in French, etc. So that's kind of the sense of the same word. That's why we translate that as why in English, too. Okay, for what reason? Why are you unhappy? For what reason is implied? And so that you can ask that in any way. You could say, well, what is there about it that you're unhappy about? Or for what reason does that bother you? Or why does that bother you? Needn't be strict and rigid, but in a sense, that's always the same question, and that's very formal. There is a formula here, if you'll look. What's your reason? And just by doing that, the person will answer, and they will come up with some answer. So, in terms of the do's and don'ts, you don't say anything. You do only ask why. Now, sometimes you will find yourself talking. And what you might really be talking about is a clarifying. Well, is this what you mean, or is that what you mean? Or, okay, if I get you right, this is what you're saying, and you're going to try to sum up and clarify further. So most of the other talking that isn't in the form of questions, which although really may be a question, not, but in a declarative form, is like, is this where it's at? Is this what you're saying? And why are you saying that? You know. Now the question, why do you believe that? There are very clear times when that's never to be used, and there are very clear times when it is to be used. You never use it when there's a matter of fact involved. Okay? Whenever there's an actual fact involved, if a person believes that people who, let's say, people who are 6 feet tall
have no balls.
People who are taller people die sooner than shorter people. Okay, something like that isn't going to really matter whether that's true or it's not true. What you're concerned with is why they'd be unhappy about it if it were true. You'll find that if you get into why they'll be unhappy about it if it were true, they may very well come to why they believe that's true. But your position is not to challenge necessarily, well, why do you believe that's so? Or why do you believe that's so? The only question, why do you believe, the real reason that you'd use that is why do you believe you'd have to be unhappy? Why do you believe that that is something to be unhappy about? Is really the why do you believe question. When you see a contradiction, then you use why do you believe. Not when there's a question of fact, but when there's an emotional contradiction. An emotional contradiction is such things as depressions. You will use "why do you believe" quite a bit, perhaps, when you're really in a clear case of depression. When a person says, "I blush because I'm afraid of these people," right? And you'll ask them, "Well, why would they be afraid, etc.?" And then after a while, it dawns on you that they don't know, right? That's very frequently the depression, or if you want to call it an anxiety neurosis. The question that's called for there is, why do you believe that that's why you blush? Why did you make that deduction, that the reason you blush is because you're afraid, when you say you don't know why you're afraid? So now this gets us into that problem that a lot of you fear, the anxiety neurosis, the patient who says, I don't know. Somehow they seem to have, to you, gotten the perfect system to beat you at your game, and it's not so. Because when a patient says to me, "I don't know why I'm unhappy about that," I ask them, "Why then do you believe you are unhappy then?" And they may say, "Because I feel unhappy." "And why do you feel unhappy?" "I don't know." "Then how do you know that what you're feeling is unhappy?" Do you see? So that's why the question, "Why do you believe?" or "How do you know?" or "What makes you think?" That question is only there when you have a contradiction. What are contradictions an option? A contradiction is a person saying, "I'm unhappy," which means I have a reason to be unhappy, right? And then saying, "But I don't have a reason to be." That's a contradiction. So that anything that smacks of that, "I'm unhappy, but I don't know my reason," that's a very clear contradiction. Then you question the belief of why they believe that that contradiction is even possible. You'll find that with the anxiety neurosis, if you want to call it that, is that the person is going to have to say something like, "Well, what I'm unhappy about is I'm afraid I'm going to be unhappy," or that "I'm afraid I'm unhappy." And so the person that says, "I don't know," all the time, is this classic thing that we were talking about earlier tonight, depressed. That's why they say, "I don't know. I'm unhappy and I don't know why." Okay, it's because they're afraid they are. And they can look through every reason in the book, and they quickly sort through them all in their heads. And they know that none of them are really reasons. They don't trust any of those answers, so they don't tell you anything. Because they know they could say it's this, it's that. They have 50 things to choose from, 50 reasons. But they know that's not where it's at. That's not what's really bothering them. What's really bothering them is that they're afraid they're going to be unhappy. Okay, so the do's and don'ts. Again, you do ask a person why they believe what they do when they are involved in an emotional contradiction. You don't ask a person why they believe what they do when they're involved with a disputed fact, something that you think you disagree with. I can share with you that from my own experience, by observing that guideline, I have found out some very amazing things from my patients. That because I didn't question, you know, in a sense, why a person believes such and such a thing, we really got into some real things about why they were feeling the way they were that actually showed me that what I had believed was a fact wasn't indeed a fact. And you can let them tell you more about where they're at than you. You know, "Why do you believe that when such and such a thing happens to you, another thing can happen to you? How could that be?" You know, that kind of a challenge, that kind of asking somebody to say, why do you believe you're breathing? That's the way it can be heard sometimes. "Why do you believe you're breathing?" Okay? you're just going to get into, well, why are you asking me that? And that's frequently the kind of answer you'll get. Why are you asking me that? And you'll find that you won't have a good reason for asking that.
So you want them, you want to give them the opportunity to document their own facts with their own evidence. And
or not even, yeah, right. Give them the opportunity to do so, but that's not even necessary because you don't care. You know, they believe that Paris is the capital of Russia. I mean, who cares? The point is, why are they unhappy? A lot of people have dire predictions. And if their predictions are from unhappiness, well, you'll be dealing with them. And if their predictions are just because they're in the know and you're not, okay, you know, there's a problem. So then, again, some of the basic questions are why or for what reason. And then you clarify it. Do you mean this or do you mean that? And then from time to time you'll ask, why do you believe that? Okay, so by and large, when they're just talking about they feel such and such a way, you get the because. What for? Then when they get a contradiction, you ask them why they believe that contradiction is possible. How do they know this? You'll find that they may answer that they're deducing it, or they may tell you how they know. If they tell you how they know, then you have something to ask them.
Could you give an example of an emotional contradiction?
Yes, I did.
Can I?
Yes, please do.
Somebody said to me, when I buy a new skirt, I really think it's pretty, and when I wear it, I think I look great. But when my sister sees me and she doesn't say anything, I believe she doesn't like it, and then I don't like it. So my question was,
you're pointing out that that's an emotional contradiction.
Yeah, I felt it was. That's why I.
How would you see that? What makes you believe you don't like it?
Why do you believe it's not nice? Because your sister said it wasn't after you believed it was.
Okay.
Is that a contradiction or a change of beliefs?
What she's stating is that she changed her beliefs, that she no longer likes it because her sister no longer likes it. She's kind of telling you why she no longer likes it. But the question is, does she mean she no longer likes it? What she means is she's no longer happy with it.
I thought you were talking about something different.
I think so. I don't think that that's an emotional contradiction.
I think
clearer.
As you were explaining it, as I understood it, the only emotional contradiction that I could hear was, I feel such and such, I don't know why.
That's one. No, there are others.
I think a good one that we maybe have all experienced is, why do you believe you'd be unhappy if you were happy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the depression ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
also,
like
that
other
people make me unhappy is an emotional contradiction.
Right. Why do you believe if you weren't unhappy when she's unhappy that you wouldn't care?
Okay, the whole point is that if it was okay with me, if something was okay, then I wouldn't want it. If it was okay for me not to have it, then I wouldn't want it. Okay, why do you believe that? That's one that I think frequently comes up, which may be on a model of, I don't know, what my reasons.
Could it maybe an easy guideline to it could be, when you can't ask, why would you be unhappy about that? And that question would
be absurd. Right.
Then you have to ask why you believe that.
Exactly. That's probably the way
unhappy.
I just...
How could you say, why would you be unhappy about that?
If other people made you unhappy.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Or if someone says, I'm unhappy, I don't know why. How could you say, why would you be unhappy about being unhappy, not knowing why?
What is there about not knowing that makes you unhappy? Or what are you most afraid would happen if you didn't know? I don't think I'd ask how do you know you don't know.
I think that's what I've been doing too. I think it'd be much better than to say, why do you believe that? That you are unhappy with what you're saying. How do you know that you're unhappy? How can you tell that you're unhappy? It makes you think that what you're experiencing is unhappiness.
And the the only answer.
Because otherwise, and I've always done that before, you're challenging their belief, I think probably prematurely at that point. Trying to lead them into area. I've always tried to lead them away into what it could be like if they weren't, before we've clarified whether they are, why they are, how they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you'll also find that there's another question that becomes very important. When you've traced down the beliefs, the person says, I'm unhappy for this reason, that reason, the other reason. And then you say, well, why would you be unhappy if that happened? And they say, I don't know. And they really say, there would be no reason, so I don't know why. Yeah, I can't think of a reason, but I still would be. I don't know why. The question that you ask at that point is, well, what are you afraid would happen if you weren't unhappy? Because the reason for the unhappiness at that point is his own reason. The unhappiness has got its own reason, motivation. When there is no other reason for being unhappy, and there's always a point at which, at least I've always found, at which there's no other reason to be unhappy, and you've gone through every reason they could have for being unhappy, and then there finally is no other reason for being unhappy, the reason for being unhappy then is as motivation. Because if I wasn't unhappy, I wouldn't get what I wanted.
I wouldn't want it.
Right, I wouldn't care. Care becomes a very frequently used word at that point. It would mean I didn't care about my own happiness. Yeah, if I wasn't unhappy, it would mean I didn't care about my happiness. So.
That's the time that I found asking that I don't know question, when there's a time that the person is distinguishing between wanting and needing. Why they believe they wouldn't want it anymore if they didn't need it,
right.
Or variations on what that all means.
And that comes up naturally. You don't even have to remember your own mind, the distinction between wanting and needing. But why do you believe that if you didn't need it anymore, you wouldn't want it? Is basically a way of saying, why do you believe if it didn't make you unhappy not to have it, that you still couldn't want it? You know, whatever that it is. I'm unhappy with my spouse. She's always this, that, the thing, right? And you work it all the way down. Well, if I wasn't unhappy with her, that would be the same as saying I didn't want her to be happy. I didn't want her to change. I didn't want her to be happier. Why do you believe that if you weren't unhappy with the way she was, that it would mean that you didn't want it different with all your heart? See, and then you get into the question of how you would use depression as a way of motivating ourselves. What is the depression there? Why do you believe that you wouldn't want what you wanted? Why do you want to believe? So the question is again, at that point, why would you believe that you wouldn't want what you wanted when you no longer feared not having it?
If you were to go into it with people making me unhappy, you sort of skipped over it, and I thought.
Oh, sure, how would that work? I get unhappy when people make me unhappy or something? I forget how I used it. It was the belief that...
they get angry with me, so I get unhappy. I suppose that would be me.
No, the belief was I make other people unhappy, something like that. Or, it was an emotional contradiction, right? That I was talking about. Okay, I'll think of it.
Well, I'm questioning something for myself now. Usually when the person tells me that someone else makes them unhappy, I assume that's true. And I ask them that question.
I know, I remember now. Oh. If this is what you're going to say is, when someone says, because of who I am, people get unhappy with me. You know, so-and-so, I make so-and-so unhappy, I make this one unhappy. A question I ask at that time is, do they have to be unhappy with you? Which is the same question of saying, well, why do you believe that they would have to be unhappy with you? And that flips it back into them. And they would tell you why they believe they would have to be unhappy with somebody like that. Okay, so that when people are talking about them making other people unhappy, we often feel bad because we made somebody else unhappy, right? If we believe we made somebody else unhappy, we feel bad. Anytime that feeling is there, if I really believe I've made someone unhappy, I have to feel bad. Because I am believing that they have reasons to be unhappy with what I've done, and that there are reasons to be unhappy. If I believe that there are reasons to be unhappy with that, I'm unhappy with that. So the question I often would ask, which is, to deal with that emotional contradiction, that I could make someone unhappy, that basic myth, I suppose, if you want to call it that, rather than an emotional contradiction, is why do you believe that they would have to be unhappy if you did that? And I ask such things as well, why would anyone have to be unhappy with you? Would anyone have to be unhappy with you? And everyone I've ever asked says, no, no one has to be unhappy with me. That's why I say things like, well, you know, if people loved you, would they be unhappy with you if you did something like that? If someone loved you, couldn't they understand? Would they have to be unhappy? And almost invariably, invariably, people I've ever asked have said, no, of course not. So that helps then. Why would you be unhappy about that in yourself? Or why would they be? And the answer very frequently is because I would be, and then why would you be? Okay, so that's a kind of why do you believe that question, too.
I don't really know what to do with more sophisticated people I run up against that with, who say, no, of course they wouldn't have to, but I know their beliefs, and I know they believe they have to, and I know if I do it, they will be.
That's no different.
Yeah, because then I used to get into why would you be unhappy then because of their beliefs
if they did what they believed they had to do.
Yeah, because they believed it was best for them.
I use a question like that. Why are they not allowed? Why are other people not allowed to do what they have to do? Because why are you not allowed to do what you have to do? What's the question?
Yeah.
Why aren't people allowed to be unhappy if they have to be? Why aren't I allowed to be unhappy? See, so when we're very unhappy, or if we're unhappy about other people being unhappy, even if they're very sophisticated, they're not very sophisticated. Because what it boils down to is, I'm not allowed to be unhappy either. So it's always a depression. Again, do you see, if you're unhappy about someone else's being unhappy, it's just simply because you're not allowed to be unhappy. How else could you ever be unhappy about someone else's being unhappy?
If you believe you're doing it. I have a friend who believes that she makes other people unhappy.
Right. They have to be unhappy about that, sure.
It's the same thing.
Exactly. It's the same thing as not allowing yourself. It's saying it's wrong for me to be unhappy, too. I make myself unhappy. And I'm not allowed to do that.
But if the belief is that you don't really make yourself unhappy, if I contribute to it.
What's that now?
Then you're getting unhappy about making other people unhappy.
If the belief is...
Oh, the question is still the same. Why do you believe that you make other people
unhappy? Oh, okay.
I have a question, and maybe it'll just evaporate when I ask it, but when the person says, that person makes me be unhappy. Now, my tendency has been to believe that that's possibly true. I mean, I don't want to assume it's not true and that that's a myth. And I usually ask them a question more like, what is it about what they're doing that's making you unhappy?
Mm-hmm. What are you unhappy about
then? Yeah, what are you unhappy about that they're doing? Assuming that's all true. But I could see that it might be just as useful to ask a sort of, why do you believe that?
Anybody could make one that
question, yeah.
Now, in a sense, that's, of course, the best question you could ask anybody, but who's about to hear that?
They can't hear that as the question that it's meant as. They hear it as, why the hell do you believe
very
it?
Very accurately when they're specific enough to ask it, and then they're not.
Because for the patient who comes into your office, the very first question you're going to ask them is, why do you believe you ever have to be unhappy about anything?
Because, I mean, that is a kind of emotional contradiction, but one that I could assume was a myth when it may not be, I don't know.
What you do is you deal with the actual particulars.
Mm-hmm.
And you help them with
the facts that stated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless they can hear that question. Now, that question will come up. And you can tell how willing they are going to be to hear it when you get to it. So that in a particular situation, you say, okay, what is it about that person that they do that makes you unhappy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they'll get to, okay, I don't really have to be unhappy about it. So it works out to be the same. Why do you believe you have to be unhappy? And that's basically the whole option method anyway. The way of being happy is by asking yourself, why would I have to be unhappy? What is there ever that I would ever have to be unhappy about? And that's what we were talking about earlier. And our each of us answer to ourselves, nothing. There's nothing that we ever have to be unhappy about. So then we kind of deduce that we like being unhappy, which becomes depression. Once you've deduced, oh, there's nothing I have to be unhappy about, but I must like it, you're depressed instantly. How could you believe you like being unhappy? Okay. Yeah, there's something wrong with me because I have a tendency towards something I don't like. I tend to do something that I really don't enjoy. And the fact don't enjoy means unhappy, as they're the same thing. Unhappy is just the word we use for everything we don't enjoy.
We disenjoy.
Sure. And I'm wanting to feel the way I don't want to feel, is what we're saying. Being unhappy means feeling a way you don't want to feel. Okay, so then, are there any other questions? The flip-flop question, why would you be afraid if you weren't afraid? What would there be to be afraid of? The rationale is what? The reason a person has a fear is that they'd be more afraid not to have that fear. The only reasons we have our fears is because we're more afraid not to have our fears. So that the greatest of all fears is the fear of not fearing. And yet we say we have a tremendous desire to stop fearing, and at the same time, a great fear of not fearing. And so when we ask a person, what are you afraid would happen if you weren't afraid? You'll get their answer, whatever it will be, and it usually takes the form, I'd be more afraid that.
Sometimes they say, oh, I think that'd be great, or I said it.
They always say that first.
Then you say something
what,
like,
what are you afraid would happen, though?
Yeah, why are you doing it if that's what you think?
So, but if they persist in saying,
and you say, well, because there's something wrong with me, that's why. Go ahead. Let's look at this.
If they persist in saying, I think that would be great. I'd love not to be.
Yeah, I thought that way. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, and if they keep on saying that, which so many people have.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Then I don't know what to do after that.
You haven't known what to do.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
get unhappy with them.
But, well, sometimes it couldn't. I think sometimes it might be true, and maybe they can, and they might realize that
yes.
They didn't really have a reason.
And you say, okay, now you see that there really isn't any reason then that you'd be happier without that fear.
If you believe it, how do you, that's where I see.
Well,
like,
what
how
I
do
usually
you know when to believe
I never believe them anyway.
Oh.
I always believe and never believe. And I mean that. There's a kind of way that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
trusting. Because you kind of get in touch with it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's the way to.
Now, so that what the person says, if I say to a person, what are you afraid would happen if you stopped feeling bad about that? If that was okay? And they say, oh, that'd be tremendous. You know, if I stopped feeling bad. So you could say something that you would really feel good if such and such a thing happened.
Oh, that's tricky.
Yeah, you go right back to it. You see? Are you trying to say that you would really feel good if this happened? Oh, no. Okay, well, what are you afraid would happen if you didn't feel bad?
I see, that's really a way of checking it out.
Yeah.
With them. See if they really mean that.
Yeah, so you know, when you get down to why do you feel bad if your wife is unhappy with you? I don't know. You know. Well, what are you afraid would happen if you didn't feel bad every time she got unhappy? That'd be great. That'd be fantastic. Our marriage would be better. Everything would be better. So I say, well, would you? You mean it would really be okay with you if she got unhappy? Oh, well, no. It wouldn't. Okay. Why? What are you afraid would happen if it was okay? I say, what are you afraid would happen if it would be okay with you? But then I'd have no problem. If you really believed you have no problem, you would be choosing that. You'd want to feel that way. So why wouldn't you want to feel that way? Say, what would be the disadvantage? Sometimes I use that word. What would be the disadvantage to you of thinking it's okay? Or what would be the threat to you of thinking it's okay? Or what, if there was something to be unhappy about, what would it be if you felt it was okay for your wife to be unhappy and not to change? And you keep going until they come up with something. Usually what they come up with is, well, if it was okay, I would mean I didn't care. Would mean I didn't want it to be better.
I find I have to repeat that question about 11 times.
Yeah.
Before they hear that question.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
Yeah.
Would you repeat that?
It's the first time in their life that they've ever heard that question.
Yeah.
Do you see? That's, I think, one of the more important things that you're going to see. You know, we feel that all the questions in the world have been asked. And the reasons that we have the kind of problems we have, because really, it's the very first time in our lives that such questions have been asked. And that when we ask ourselves why we're unhappy about it, so I think it's really the very first time we've ever been asked it. And so I have patients who frequently say, I don't know, and then answer me.
Yeah.
Their initial response is always, I don't know. Yes, of course they don't know. Up until then, they've never been asked. Then they think about it and they answer. And you're asking, if you're using these questions, you're asking questions of people who have, that have never been asked of them before, ever. And so such questions as that are what they call mind blowers. A mind-blowing question is just simply a question that's never been asked.
And
that is being asked seriously now.
Right, and in response to the initial question,